This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 17 and Franchise Hockey Manager 2, two of the top sports strategy games ever made. Out of the Park Baseball 17 still sits right atop the Metacritic rankings for PC games and is just, you know, the entire baseball universe at your fingertips, real licensed players and teams from today, as well as from the entire history of the game, major leagues and minor leagues. It's astounding how much you can do. And you can play online and you can create fantasy worlds. It's just unbelievable. So check out of the Park Baseball 17. If you use the code PRESS17, you get 10% off. So I urge you to check it out, and I guarantee that you will love it. And also go check out Franchise Hockey Manager 2. Again, the best hockey strategy game on the market. Teams from today, teams from the past. And also go make sure you check out Adam and TJ doing their thing, streaming Out of the Park Baseball 17 and Franchise Hockey Manager 2 on twitch.tv/OOTP Developments every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. for the baseball and 10 p.m. for the hockey. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
All right, so for those of you who may have missed it, make sure to check out our last show, which was the big review roundtable for Madden NFL 17. As a panel, we discussed most everything to do about the game, except for one mode in particular that would take quite a bit more time to dig into. I'm your host, Brian Wiedei, Pasta Padre, and in this episode of the Press Row Podcast, I'm joined by TJ Lowerman, a.k.a. That Sports Gamer, to break down Madden NFL 17's ultimate team mode. TJ, welcome back to the show.
Brian, I am extremely ecstatic to be here.
Ultimate team is your mode, isn't it? Or the style of mode that you tend to play the most now.
That is correct. I've evolved from my franchise and single player playings to become an ultimate team guru, if you will.
Yeah, and that's the case for a lot of people. I mean, obviously a lot stuck with franchise or still continue to play franchise, but Ultimate Team continues to rise in popularity year by year, and it's just an alternate way to play that's totally different from anywhere else in the game. How about you, just for the people out there who don't really know what Ultimate Team is, can you explain it briefly, the concept behind it, and why maybe it is attractive to so many people?
Yeah, the basic idea is you buy packs of cards with either in-game currency or spending your own real money. Try to build up the best team you can. You earn in-game currency by playing games, completing challenges, and stuff like that. And Madden Ultimate Team, as compared to the other Ultimate Team or card collecting modes in other games, gives you a wide variety of different ways to use that team. I mean, we can get into that if you want.
Yeah.
Or we actually had a great question on Twitter, which I'm trying to find, where we were asked why a person that plays CFM and normal head-to-head would prefer Ultimate Team. I really want to give the guy credit, but I cannot find the tweet at this time.
Okay. Well, what's your thoughts on that?
Basically, I mean, Ultimate Team is not going to replace a CFM experience. I believe we both play in the Press Row Podcast League and have tons of fun.
Yeah, that's totally different. I mean, that's team building, that's team management, that's dealing with injuries, that's, you know, drafting. It's replicating or attempting to replicate the real NFL on a year-to-year basis. Ultimate Team is kind of a perpetual improvement of your team and competition against other people.
Yeah, and I feel like the head-to-head gamer might like Ultimate Team a little bit more, because, you know, when you play, if you watch a lot of tournaments or you play a lot online, you see a lot of the same teams getting picked, and, you know, that's not super fun.
Well, I think Ultimate Team is appealing for a couple reasons. That's one of them, is that the online competition is far more varied. You're facing teams that are made up, you know, that have certain strengths and weaknesses that can be identified. But, yeah, you're not facing only the Seahawks, the Patriots, the Broncos, you know, the top teams in the game. But then there's also this sense of, you know, if you don't really necessarily have a team you identify with, this is how I view it anyway, if say you're an NFL fan, but you're not passionate about one particular team, or you're a fan of the Browns and you don't want to play with them online or whatever, you get the opportunity to kind of build the team that you want, and that can suit your own personal ways, preferences, and how you play, your strengths, and try to cover up your weaknesses, and how you construct these teams. And then you're always, bringing guys in, moving guys out for various reasons. I think it's appealing in that sense that it can also outlast the season. Once the season's over, a lot of people move on from Madden, but with Ultimate Team, there's more content coming out even after the season's over. It's constantly updated, and that keeps it fresh in a sense, and as opposed to 6 months in, you're just tired of playing your franchise. You're on to a different game. So that's
and to give credit where credit is due, it was at KJE11IS on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to follow up with what you said. Like, if you're a Browns fan and you try to use the Browns online, you're already at a huge disadvantage.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you can get yourself to a high-end Ultimate Team versus someone else's high-end Ultimate Team, it's really going to show who the better player is, not just this guy's team is better and he's a good player against someone who's not as good a player with a really good team, or someone that's really good with a bad team could get beat by someone. It kind of, I feel like Ultimate Team can even a playing field and make it more rely on who's the better player than what team you have.
So these team-building, card-collecting-type modes, I mean, the criticism of them, or at least one of the main criticisms of them, is that they're all about people paying money to build their teams up faster, right? So tell me, do you feel like Madden's Ultimate Team is balanced in a sense that you can succeed, you can get your team much better just by playing? Or do you have to pay money to get your team up to a level that makes it enjoyable?
Yeah, I think you can. I think it all depends on you. Do you have the time to dedicate to the game, to playing solos, playing head-to-head games, to build up a chest of coins to go out and buy good players? Because if you don't have that time, if you don't have the time and you don't want to spend the money, you're never going to build a team that's really competitive, and you're not going to have fun.
Yeah, and I've played some of, I played a ton of the solo challenges, for example, and I wouldn't call all of them fun. Right? We'll go into some examples of that. So it is, the term a lot of people use is grind, right? Mm-hmm. It is a grind. You do have to invest time or money. Or both.
Or both.
Yeah.
If you really want.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You really need to have one or the other. If you don't have either.
Right.
A card collecting mode, be it Ultimate Team, Diamond Dynasty, my team in NBA, I don't think you're really going to have fun in any of those modes.
Yeah. So in Madden Ultimate Team, there are several different ways to play. I'm going to list them off. Head to head online, right? You take your team up against somebody else's team. There's, you can play against friends as just, I don't know, do you earn coins that way or not, TJ? Do you know offhand?
I don't think so. Yeah, if you do, it's very little. And also, it doesn't use your contracts if you play friends.
Yeah, so that's more of just like a friendly way to play, hey, let's stack our teams up and see how they look. Then there's also salary cap ranked, okay? And this is a mode they patched in last year, where you can formulate a team based on all the players you have. They all have a salary cap number based on, not directly based on their rating, but obviously it depends on how good they are.
Right.
And then it becomes kind of like a tournament structure, right? Or a ladder.
Yeah. Is it just 10-game season again?
It might be. But that's one of the, I believe that's the way they did their esports late last year.
I think 16. I think the last tournament was a salary cap. Ranked tournament.
Yeah, so that adds in another element of strategy and how you put together a team using a salary cap. And then there's draft champions, which was new last year, where you draft your team and take them online and play. And the whole point of draft champions there is not so much that it's an Ultimate Team game, but you're earning Ultimate Team rewards through draft champions, which our friend of the show, Kat Bailey, doesn't feel like the rewards that you're getting from Draft Champions really makes that process worth it. But it's just another way to earn things in within this mode, other than buying packs or getting players from the auction house or whatever it might be.
Yeah, and Draft Champions is good for people that don't don't have the time or money to dump into Ultimate Team, because you're going to be able to get to play with some very high rated cards, and your team in Draft Champions is, if you don't have money or time, is possibly going to be better than anything you're going to play with all year.
All right, TJ, let's take a look at our teams right now. What is your team rated? We're not going to include in limited use players, which have only a certain number of contracts. We're just our concrete lineups right now.
Yeah, the limited use players have started this year. I think they have, 10 or 20 contracts on each?
Yeah, it depends on whether you're using them for solo challenges or head-to-head. It's a different number.
So my team is currently an 84 overall.
Okay. 84 overall, and how did you get to that number? Were you buying packs? Were you working the auction house? Were you just playing solo challenges? Were you playing head-to-head and earning coins? What were you doing mostly to get yourself to 84?
The main thing I did to start, which we're going to be having a piece on Hit the Pass soon, was I purchased the $100 bundle of Pro Packs.
Talking about the $100 Madden Edition, or are you about you purchased $100 worth of packs?
Yes, $100 worth of Pro Packs.
Okay, well, that would explain it. So I can't believe you're criticizing my 80 rated lineup where I have not spent that money.
Hey, man, when we look at when this piece comes out and we look at the breakdown of the absolute trash that I was able to pull out of these packs, out of 80 packs, I pulled 8 cards over an 80 overall.
Oh,
I think one was a punter.
I was going to ask TJ about the packs, and we'll talk more about the packs later, I'm sure. But from what I noticed, and this might just be a start of Ultimate Team thing, the majority of the cards are not that good, right? So, like, what they consider good right now are gold cards, which are like typically mid 70s to upper 70s. I mean, I have a few above that, but when you get a pack with like the All Pro pack, which guarantees you 3 gold cards or better, and you get these golds and you open up and they're 75, 76, 77. I'm like, that does mean really nothing.
Yeah. And especially right now, as of right now, I believe the highest rated card in the game is a 95, which you get if you complete all of the Mutt Master stuff.
Which would probably take an eternity.
Which took someone 7 days.
Took someone.
Yeah, but literally 7 days of gameplay.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a big.
And then after that, I think there's 490. I think there's 592s, and 4 of them are limited use.
Yeah, so, I've seen a few of those.
So like right now, if you have cards in the high 80s, those are going to be some of the best cards.
Those
in the
are
game.
Amazing right now.
Yeah,
they had like, I think they put out a Zach Prescott at 88, right, in packs recently.
Yeah, and I think I looked today. I think he was going for like 350,000 coins or something like that.
Which is the equivalent to $350. I believe 1,000 coins is a dollar.
I mean, I don't know where you got that from, but sure. Because there's no dollar to...
There's no
real dollar to...
But the equivalent of buying, you know...
If you compare it to Pro Packs, I guess.
Yes, yeah. Maybe. So it's the equivalent of... So in Madden, you have 2 different currencies, okay? So I'll back up a little bit for people who are confused, and TJ and I are probably a little confused. There's points, which you can buy, and there's coins, which you earn. So you can go in and buy points, and they're the equivalent to how many coins it takes to, like, let's say, buy a pack. You can then determine what essentially a coin's value is worth. So that's $1,000 to $1, I believe, is what it is.
They have 2 different, currencies in here.
Sure.
The points can only be used for packs, unlike MLB The Show, where in their Diamond Dynasty mode, if you spend money, you're buying the same stubs that you would be earning from playing games. So you could literally spend $100, get... I forget, is it 120,000 stubs or something like that?
Uh-huh.
And then directly spend that on a single player. In here, if you spend real money, you have to buy packs.
This, you know, this kind of brings up a point that I've talked about now for a while and mentioned in my review of the game and everything, which is this mode is not simple. You know, even just in terms of currency there, as we try to explain it to people who maybe don't understand it or aren't familiar with it, there is so much going on in this mode in Ultimate Team, and they're adding constantly to it. I mean, I started to feel like I was getting a grasp of what was going on, and then they put out a puzzle pack where mm-hmm. you get puzzle pieces, and I was like, TJ, what the hell's going on now? And then we had an addition of like a new type of chemistry or a new layer of chemistry, and I think it took you quite a while, TJ, to even understand the chemistry system. And
I think I finally understand it now.
Yeah, which is not a great indication considering you've been playing this for years. And you've been playing this constantly since the game came out, essentially, and that you're just now figuring it out. That's a concern I just continue to have with this mode, is there's so much going on, and it's so heavy, and it's so...
And it feels like year to year, some of the fundamental stuff changes in big ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, last year, to complete a legend, to create a legend, like, I currently have a... 90 Jeremy Shockey and a 91 Emmitt Smith on my team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last year, the way that would have worked was, I guess there wasn't a player card of them last year. I think two years ago, there was a rookie version of the legend, and then you had to get multiple collectibles and put that all together to make the legend. Then I think last year you didn't need a version of the legend to put in, but you needed like six different collectibles. So, like, for Emmitt Smith, it would be, like, Rookie of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, All-Pro so many times, like, all-time leading rusher. This year, they changed it where you just need the training version of the legend and six Emmitt Smith collectibles. Like, the collectible is just Emmitt Smith collectible.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than six different things, which four of them are going to be super common and two of them are going to be super rare and cost you a lot.
Right.
So, that's... They changed that for Legend this year, but what's funny is they took that way and made it for flashback cards this year.
Mm.
So now flashbacks require a flashback badge and I think it's five or six different collectibles that are going to be of varying commonality.
Again, I'm still trying to get a grasp on this stuff,
and
I've been playing it a ton. How did you get your Shockey?
Okay, so... Here is the trick. When certain packs come out, they're going to be having specific things in them which are going to increase the number of that kind of card, which should lower the prices in theory.
Right.
So this weekend, they released Legend packs. So everybody was opening up Legend packs. Everybody was getting a lot of Legend collectibles. So I think you were guaranteed at least one per pack.
Mm-hmm.
So... Like with the Emmitt Smith, there were some Legend collectibles that were getting pulled in regular packs over the days,
mm-hmm.
and they were really expensive. But when they released those Legend packs, people were pulling Emmitt Smith Legends left and Emmitt Smith collectibles left and right.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to pick up the 10 I needed for like less than 4,000 coins each, which if I tried to do while the packs weren't out, were going to cost me 10 to 15,000 coins each.
Yeah,
and it was the same with the Shockey. The Shockey actually just released this week, and I guess there were so many of his collectibles out there that they were about 6,000 each.
The problem
was getting the, I think it's called the training edition version of him was very rare.
Yeah.
So I think I ended up paying like 48,000 coins just for that card.
But if you had to buy the Shockey card outright, how much would that cost, you think?
Yeah, I think it would have ended up being like 130,000. I think when I was doing this, so I think I ended up paying less than 1,000.
So the key then is
less than 100,000.
Yeah, the key then is to look at what is going to be flooding the market and take advantage of of them in the auction house when that happens.
And also having good friends that are like, hey, I ripped these packs. I have two Shockeys. I have a. My friend had two Shockeys. I had a Champ Bailey. I was like, let's do this. I'll help you do a set. You help me do a set.
There you go.
it'll work out in the end.
And that's with the trade feature, right? Which is new or returns this year, correct?
Yep, which has a slight bug in it that hopefully will be fixed for the next update. Because when people put when my friends put stuff on the trade block, I can see it. Right. When I put stuff on the trade block, my friends can see it.
Uh-huh.
But when they put stuff on the trade block, I can't see it.
Huh.
I don't know why. It seems to be certain people that that happens to. Yeah. It's just weird.
All right. So who else on your team are standouts at this point?
Trying to think. So I said I have the Matt Stafford puzzle card.
Mm-hmm.
I did that by buying the card because it was cheaper than buying the puzzle pieces.
Oh, okay.
There because I think it was 6 puzzle pieces altogether. Or no, it was 8 puzzle pieces. 6 of them were super cheap because they were very common.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were 2 that were super rare.
Hmm.
And the cost of the 2 super rare ones would have been more than just buying the card.
Gotcha. Okay. So yeah, go ahead.
I also got lucky and pulled a Cam Chancellor in a pack.
Oh, nice. There you go.
Pulled Chris Harris Jr. in a pack. And got the Joe Hayden from doing the gauntlet. But here's here's where I screwed up. So as I just said, the whole buying the puzzle pieces were more expensive than just buying the card. I wasn't paying attention. They just added this whole new milestone thing.
Right, which is
in the last couple days.
That layer of chemistry that I was talking about, that's a whole new element to it.
Yeah, so what I did was, one of the things I was looking at, I was like, my team has 4 players towards the Denver chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
But I need 5 to activate like the second level of it. So I was like, let me go out and get this, what is this guy? A left end D-Wolf. He's probably got a real name, but I don't know. Derek Wolf.
Yeah.
And he also has the ability to add the milestone stuff to him to give him, I guess it gave him the 3-4 formation as well. So most people have 1 chemistry, but with this milestone stuff, you can give them a 2nd chemistry.
Okay.
So here's what I did. I bought the D-Wolf card for like 12,000 coins.
Mm-hmm.
Then, since I did the solos to get the cards for the milestone, I applied them to him to make him the special version. And then I was like, oh, I wonder how much he's going for, how much the special version is going, because you can also sell the special version.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going for 8,000 coins.
Mm-hmm.
So I should have just bought him specialized to start with.
Well, you went.
And I would have saved myself. I would have saved myself those, and then I also would have been able to use those milestone things somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I screwed up.
All right, so I finished the gauntlet, the 48 gauntlet solo solo challenges, and I too got that Joe Hayden 88 rated. So he is technically, he's my highest rated player. I also have Calvin Pryor at 85, Stephen Gilmore at 85, and
because you finished something else too, right?
Yes, Mike Evans at 85. So those last two, Evans and Gilmore, I got for finishing the Ultimate Season Solo Challenges, which takes you through the 4 weeks of the preseason.
Haha, you know what that means.
What?
That means you did not turn on your game today, have you?
Why?
Because NFL Week 1 solos are out.
I'm started on that. I've got like 5 or 6 of them done already.
Yeah, so there's another 16 solos. That's just going to keep racking up every week.
Which is good. It's another way. I bought some all pro packs, but that's it. Most of what I've done has been through just playing solo challenges. So my team is an 80 is 80 rated, as I said, but I have 142,000 coins in the bank right now, which I just haven't spent yet because I'm waiting to see what makes the most sense to spend it on. I'm able to get through some of these solo challenges without really upgrading my team anymore at this point. I've finished like 18 of the team challenge ones.
I haven't even touched that.
Those are like full games for quarters.
I feel like I'm not going to touch that. I think just playing the Ultimate Season, having 16 more games each week, that might just be the thing I target. And also doing all the limited time ones as they come up.
Yeah. So,
there's a lot, like you never have to play someone online and you will always have stuff to do.
Yeah, and that's the good thing. If you don't like playing people online, you can do this offline stuff. Did you know, TJ, that by doing the various things in Skills Trainer, you earn packs.
Do you? I thought you earned some low cards, but
oh, maybe you didn't. Okay, you didn't know this. So
I guess
so
I'm gonna start
there
doing
are stuff. Yeah, there's different categories within the Skills Trainer. It'll be like, you know, passing offense, running offense, whatever it is, special teams, that kind of stuff. Once you finish the Skills Trainer stuff, it gives you a Gatorade pack. So you end up with, I don't remember how many there are, 8 to 10 potential packs. So there's, you could just do that and get enough packs to kind of ignite your team a little bit at the start. You probably won't get anyone necessarily great, but better than what you have. And then by playing these solo challenges, you're going to get packs through them. You're going to get bonus players through them.
And I really like that this year they've added, like, for each string of games, they show you, like, you're going to play 16 challenges, you're going to make 10,500 coins, and you're going to get 5 packs and items. I think that's – I like that because last year it used to be like, all right, is this really worth it? If I play these 16 challenges, what am I actually going to get out of it?
Oh, so you didn't really know what was coming.
Yeah. I mean, it said it individually. So if you want to go and be like, okay, 250, 500, 750, 1,000, and count by yourself. Yeah. But now it just gives you, okay, if I play these 16, I'm getting 10,000 coins. I'm fine with that. Let's go to work. I don't know if you know, Monday nights, 10 o'clock on twitch.tv/thatsportsgamer. Shameless plug. Me and Millennium talk about MLB The Show.
Yeah.
One thing we were talking about this week was we've both been playing a ton of Madden, specifically Ultimate Team. And while we still love Diamond Dynasty and MLB, it seems like the only thing to do in that mode is to play online. I mean, you can play the computer, but it's not really fun.
Yeah, after you finish the what's
the Conquest mode?
Yeah, exactly.
There's not really anything to do except play the computer in full games. So if I'm going to go on there, I'm going to play online head-to-head games. And somehow I've ran into a streak of I've faced knuckleballers 4 out of 5 times. And I'm like, I would rather go play Madden.
Yeah.
And if I have a bad game against the human, I can go and play a bunch of solo challenges. And just having the option, or I played a game online with my Ultimate Team. I didn't play that good. Let me go into a draft champions draft, just change it up, change up players, and do something different within the same mode is a lot of fun.
Yeah. I really like Diamond Dynasty for its simplicity. And like I said, there's so much going on in Ultimate Team here that it's overwhelming to an extent. But yeah, there's definitely ways that the show can take it, you know, that can really advance within that mode. And that's one of them, is giving people the ability to play shorter experiences offline and achieve things, as opposed to only being stuck with online, where your experience is going to be mixed, to say the least. So I wanted to talk about frustrations, TJ, with various solo challenges. Does that do any stand out to you, TJ?
There's one huge one that stands out to me.
Oh my god!
Is that still up there to be done?
I think it's still there.
Is that in the Mutt Puzzle?
Yeah.
Limited time challenges.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, the last Mutt Puzzle limited time challenge is you have the ball with six.
I'm stuck at 9 out of 10, and it's never going to change.
You still haven't finished it? You didn't
do
it?
I'm not going to. No, I already...
Got to do it.
I already made like 150 attempts at it.
Beat the game. You got to beat the game. Can't do it.
It might be better now that they patched...
Yeah, I think that was actually a huge help.
I was fumbling so often in that. And so, context here. This limited time challenge ends in a game that is on all Madden difficulty.
Yep.
There's 6 minutes left. You're down by 10, okay? So you got to...
have the ball, right? I believe you have
the ball. Yeah, you start with the ball. You got to score, then you got to get the ball back, and you got to score again. And if you do this, you're going to win a limited time Josh Norman card.
Which sounds great until you realize what a limited time Josh Norman card is.
Yeah, limited time, that's another issue. So,
I believe you can use them for 20 solos or 10 head-to-head unlimited events, which have a possibility of being 10 games... or 15 games each. So technically there's a chance you could get play him for 150 games.
Yeah, which is significant. The other thing to this is it's played in the snow. Okay.
Yes.
So it's played in a weather game. So already all Madden will cheat the hell out of you.
Yeah.
And it does not care. And that's bad enough. But what was happening, combination of the weather and combination of fumbles being too prevalent, which was addressed somewhat in the patch, turnovers, just, it was just a mess. So I would be driving. There was one stretch of games, TJ, where on the first drive of seven consecutive attempts at this solo challenge, I lost a fumble. Nice. Seven consecutive times.
I literally think I played this solo challenge alone for, I would say, almost 6 hours.
Yeah.
Trying to beat this stupid thing.
It was just rage-inducing.
I had everything from can't get a first down on the first drive to 15 seconds left. I score to take the I scored the second touchdown to go up.
You left 34-30. Too much time on the clock.
I left 15 seconds on the clock.
Yeah,
I kick off, and then my defense or my special teams parts like the Red Sea, and their guy returns the touchdown.
That's what I'm talking about.
I lost my mind. Lost my mind.
Yeah.
I literally think I spent 6 hours to get this one stupid card, but then I realized you can use it unlimited in just like friends head to head play.
Which comes in handy.
Which is something that I'm going to do a lot of.
Yeah.
So I was like, I have to get this.
Yeah.
And even when I was cheating, so before the patch, if you held down L2 to see the play art,
it didn't matter.
Yeah, if the wide receivers had names, it was a pass play. If they didn't have names, it was a run play. So you could tell your defense, hey, it's pass play, or hey, it's a run play.
Yeah, we had that advantage. It didn't do me any good.
Didn't help at all.
I would commit to a run, and then they just bust through, and there was nobody to stop him. Or I would, commit to pass on everything. It didn't help.
Yeah. And that one was, like, extremely difficult.
Yeah.
But then there's others where there are a lot where you have to play good football to win, and I'm completely fine with that.
I'm fine with challenge. I don't like being cheated.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a few where it's like, okay, what is the hack I have to do to be able to win this?
Right. You're talking about intercept a pass in the first four plays or something, right?
I mean, I got that. That one actually took me only two times. I was pretty. That one and the fumble one took me two times. Specifically, was it gauntlet defense?
Okay.
Let me double check what it was. Yes, the final gauntlet defense solo is recover a fumble on this drive.
Oh, okay.
Oh, actually, I did this. This one, it took me two tries. The first one, I had heard about the cheap way to do it, so I attempted it. Did not work. The cheap way to do it, if you have not completed this one already, force them to punt you the ball. So when you're in your punt formation, run another guy back to be with your returner.
Mm-hmm.
When you catch the ball, start celebrating so that when they tackle you, you fumble it, and then you pick it up, counts as a recovered fumble, and you're done.
See, yeah. I never would have thought of that.
And then what's even more angering is there are some where it was like, I'm trying to think of what it was. Was there like force a punt or something? And it was like, it was force a turnover on downs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I got an interception, and I was like, well, you didn't force a turnover on downs.
That's happened to me where I've, on a few different occasions where I won, given exactly by the parameters that they laid out, and it said I failed.
Yeah. Though, actually, what's funny is there was one that I didn't complete the parameters, but it gave it to me last night.
Oh.
It was I think it was a rushing one or a passing one. It was like, get so many yards and win the game.
Uh-huh.
I got the yards but didn't have the points to win.
Yeah.
And it gave me, and I was like, all right, I'll take it. I'm not going to complain.
The fumble one, I had my own tactic, which was, this was before I knew that you could, fumble yourself and recover it. What I did was I went into a punt return formation on defense. Okay. So the CPU would audible to a pass. They'd throw obviously to a wide open guy. Now what would happen is, I would have my returner back there to either come up and try to strip him, or I would have a trailing player come behind and punch the ball out. And that's how I got it. It only took me a couple times. I let him catch a pass in the open field and then go for the strip. And they lowered the success of stripping the ball now, so maybe it wouldn't work as well, but that worked for me. So there are different ways around kind of coming up with a strategy to completing some of these things, because otherwise – You know, what are the chances you're going to, you don't see that many fumbles. What are the chances you're going to force a fumble right away, you know? So it's like, oh, you know, you don't want to waste your time doing those things. So,
yeah, there was a bunch where I was, I forget what the requirement was, but it was like every time I would get the ball, I would just punt it back to them to do whatever I had to do.
Yeah.
Maybe I think it was for the interceptions. It might have been,
there's that.
I didn't get an interception. They punted it to me. I just kicked it back.
Well, there's also, there's also ones like, let's say, this isn't an exact example, but let's say throw for 300 yards, but there's no other parameters to it. So you let them score immediately. So you get the ball back and have enough time, enough possession to, or, you know, there was like complete 25 passes, right? So what good is there to playing defense? So I would let them score immediately so that I can get the ball back and just continue to complete passes down the field. So you have to, look at what they've laid out there and see the best way you can take advantage of it to actually complete some of these things.
Yeah, that's why I like a lot of the ones from last year where it was, there's a minute 30 left, you're down six, win the game.
Yeah.
Which, don't get me wrong, I love that they've added these new stuff where it's like, don't let them get 20 yards in the first three plays.
Yeah,
can get in, knock that out real quick, and be done. But for some of them, there's like, okay, I can just game this system rather than actually having to play good football.
Yeah. That's the thing. I prefer the ones where you're almost in field goal range and you just have to get one play and then you kick the field goal and it's over and it took you 10 seconds.
Mm.
That's my favorite one.
those are always the best.
Yeah, those are the best.
And then you get to that one and you're like, wait, this is all I have to do, right? Hold on, I just need to kick this field goal and we're done. All right, good.
There was that one.
I start getting worried when I see those.
Yeah, that one I did like today, I think, and it was like way deep into that preseason week four or something. And it came on the heels of like a tough one. All right, so let's go back. We mentioned a little bit chemistry, TJ. Can you try and explain what this is a new kind of twist on, what was it called before?
Okay. It was play styles 1 year.
Okay.
I think it was something else another year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what the other thing was.
Okay. So chemistry kind of links it with FIFA. And I don't know if they do the same thing in NHL, but it's,
I think they're, I want to say maybe they're adding it this year to NHL, but it's been a staple of FIFA for years, especially when we all figured out that it didn't actually work on new cards. It
wasn't actually doing anything. So the chemistry is difficult to, like you said, explain or determine. I mean, what, as far as you can tell, how do you take advantage of chemistry in this mode?
Okay, so when you're on your lineup screen, on the right, it's going to show you all the chemistries that you have going. If they are in blue, that means they're activated. So, like we said, I have my regular roster, but I also have another roster that has the limited time players in it.
Mm-hmm.
So on my defense, there's a chemistry for having Denver players. So I have, or having players with the Denver chemistry.
Okay.
So that's one thing. You have to make sure the card actually has the chemistry on it. So like for sometimes I can't remember these guys' first names. That's literally the worst part.
They don't put it on the card, right? They just have the initial. Yeah.
They put the initial, then you have to go in. So DeMarcus Ware. He's an 83, plays for Denver, right outside linebacker. Then his chemistry is the Denver chemistry. Mm-hmm. Now there's other Denver cards that don't have the Denver chemistry. Robbie, the cornerback. He is a Denver player, but he has the man coverage chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So to activate the Denver chemistry, there are two layers for it. There's one layer where if you have two players that have the Denver chemistry in your lineup, they will both get boosts. So for the Denver chemistry, if you have two players in, they will each get plus one to tackling, plus one to power move, and plus one to man coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Which, good. They both get a little bump. The rest of the team does not get a bump. Last year, with the play styles, if you reach certain levels, the whole team was getting a bump.
That sounds extreme.
This year, it's only the people, as it's been explained to me, it's only the people that match that chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So like right now I have five Denver players, which has unlocked the Denver tier two. Which gives everybody plus one tackle, plus one power move, plus one finesse move, plus one man coverage, plus one zone coverage, and plus one hit power. Now, does the tier one and tier two stack? I have no idea. That's they don't really make that clear on the screen. I assume it does. I could be completely wrong, though.
Yeah.
And I also have a pick specialist activated. Because I have the Joe Hayden and the Josh Norman from that solo, both have that chemistry. So they each have plus one to acceleration, plus one to catching, and plus one to play rec.
Is there a visual indication on your team screen, your lineup screen, that shows chemistry is like active?
Yeah, when you're on your lineup screen, on the right you'll see a sidebar that says chemistry.
Yeah, mine doesn't show and you have, very much there.
But you have a whole bunch of like half circles and stuff, right?
Uh huh.
So if you hit R3, it'll expand that out.
Okay.
And you'll see all the chemistries that you... I guess they are players in your lineup that have that chemistry.
So, like, I have Mike Evans, and it says he's deep threat chemistry. Does that mean if I team him with somebody else, that's a deep threat?
Right. So he's... Okay. So in that deep threat thing, it says impact is plus one to throw power, plus one to spectacular catch, plus one to throw accuracy deep. The target is deep threat. So people with deep threat will get now I understand. People with deep threat will get that bump. And the little football means you need two players to make it full.
Okay. So when
you get
accuracy deep, it says plus one throw accuracy deep, right?
Right.
Does that mean my quarterback is benefiting from that?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Your quarterback will get plus one to his throw power and plus one to his throw accuracy deep.
All right.
And your wide receiver is gonna get a plus one to his spectacular catch. Okay. Now, so like right now you have the one guy, so you have half the circle filled in.
Yes.
When you get a second guy, that whole circle will fill in and it will become blue, and that will mean that it's activated.
Okay.
So like for the Denver one, the circle is broken up into five pieces. And since it has two levels, when I have two people in, two blocks will be blue. But as I add a third and a fourth, they will stay gray because they're not going to be activated yet.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they will get the tier one stuff that because they are of the Denver defense. But when I add that fifth guy to activate the whole tier two, they'll all get everything.
Do you think plus one in these categories really matters, though?
Well, I believe this goes back to the problem that FIFA was having, where the newer cards weren't getting the chemistry boosted correctly.
Yeah.
I believe, depending on your rating, you're going to be unlocking different animations and stuff and different moves.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to say 90, like if you jump from 89 to 90, will change something, like give you a different, like an upgraded stiff arm.
Yeah, yeah.
So if your running back's an 89 and he's going to get this, he's going to have the upgraded stiff arm, even though his base card doesn't have it.
Okay, that makes sense.
So like, I think we were talking about it before we started, but
yeah,
so you might like for my team, I might say this Derek Wolf. Oh, I guess it actually does. It updates, overalls, I guess too, because he was an 80, but he's an 81 with this and his new grades.
Mm-hmm.
But you might say this right end's an 80, like I had an 80 right end, but if I go in, I might go grab a 79 of a good chemistry, and then he'll get boosts to actually be better than a card that's higher than him.
Okay.
So that, I mean, it's just one more thing that you have to go in and look at and try to figure out if that's going to help your team.
Yeah, and I see that you can also in the auction house you can sort by chemistry type. So that's nice. Okay.
Yeah, and what's nice is there's lots of chemistry, so you can activate multiple things. So you can have different parts of your defense getting different boosts.
Yeah.
When last year. There was only, I think it was only four offensive and four defensive chemistries or the play styles.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, then that kind of ran into our Diamond Dynasty problem where, okay, I'm going to build a pass rush defense. These are the pass rush defense cards. And there's a select few that are great.
Okay.
And then everybody's going to go grab those select few. This should give you a lot more flexibility with your lineups.
Interesting. I went and searched deep threat, and quarterbacks have that trait too, or that chemistry too.
Yeah, so. I think quarterbacks, wide receivers, and maybe tight ends might have that.
Uh huh. That would make sense for some of them. Yeah.
Yeah, but then there's there's some like that deep threat. You only need 2 cards to activate it.
Yeah,
but because of that, because of that, you're only getting a slight boost to it.
Yeah.
But then there's other things like the man coverage. I guess man coverage, you need 5 cards to activate it. I guess they're still getting a slight boost, which isn't really that great though.
Boy. But
depending on what it is, or I guess how good they think the attributes are that are getting boosted, it's going to take either more or less cards to actually activate them.
Yeah, these are deep threats. It's going to take a while till I put this together. They're everybody's like 100,000 plus. Or I could buy the Matt Stafford for 60K.
Yeah, so I need to find 2 more Legion of Boom guys so I can get more.
Oh, there you go.
So I can activate the Seattle defense.
That's awesome.
Do that.
Okay, so that's clever. It's just difficult to grasp.
Yeah, and like the salary cap, it's just another thing that you're going to have to go in, figure out.
Yeah.
And really, they give you the tools to do it on the consoles, but using a website like Mutthead.com, where it kind of lets you search all this on your computer and compare cards that you directly there, it's a little bit simpler to do it there.
All right, TJ, just a couple more things. You know, what
sure, we want to talk about?
I was going to say, you know, for someone who's trying to build up their team, what would you recommend? They buy packs, they take their coins to the auction house, they work on completing like collections, their sets. How would you recommend, other than the obvious, play all the solo challenges you can? Like, what do you think is the most, like, packs you've already said you were disappointed with, right?
Yeah, I feel like buying, if you're going to spend money, I would say shy away from the pro packs. I would wait until there's special packs out there, like the all pros where you're going to get 3 golds, or the legend packs where you're guaranteed some legend stuff. And that's another thing, if you're buying packs on the weekend, prices are all going to go. If you're buying all the good packs, come out on the weekends, which means all the prices drop on the weekends because everybody's opening packs on the weekends. So you don't want to open those packs and then sell those cards immediately. You kind of want to wait a day or two to let the market bounce back before you do that.
Yep, that makes sense.
But yeah, I would, if you're just starting, I would definitely say start playing solos. I would probably right now say shy away from the Mutt Puzzle ones because you don't get any coins for those. Those are just doing things, but you're not getting coins. So yeah. I would definitely focus on things like the Gauntlet because you get some good, you get good coin rewards there, and if you finish that stuff, you get good card rewards.
Yeah.
And then same with Ultimate Season. These are things that are short, and you get a decent reward.
Mm-hmm.
Going through like the team challenges, that's going to take a while. I mean, if you're going to play 13 games, you're going to play 16 games, get 13,000 coins, but there are 16 full games.
Yeah, they're like,
would
lengthy.
You rather play 16 full games and get 13,000 coins for one team's team challenge, or would you rather go play NFL Week 1, which is also 16, which is 16 challenges, not full games, and you're going to get 10,000 coins and 5 player things?
So I finished the Seahawks one in I forget what it's called, in that schedule one where you play through the schedule and
team challenge.
Yeah, so that thing. Yeah, so that what I got out of that was there, you know, you get certain guaranteed cards. So it was like you're going to get a Thomas Rawls card, you're going to get a Luke Wilson card, you're going to get a curse
some
card,
contracts, Jerry and Reed item.
Yeah. So the issue is that they were nice cards, right? But they really don't even have a place on my roster at this point. I mean, the best for completing all 16 with the Seahawks was a 76 Jermaine Curse.
Yeah, I think all the nice team challenges end with the 76 or 75 or 76.
Nice player, but you know, it's not a standout player. So
I it's not like you get a pro pack or anything.
Yeah.
That might really help.
I was a little disappointed with that, although I did look at a few other teams and like, okay, this was very early on when I was starting my team up. I was like, all right, you know, oh, there's a Stevie Johnson or whatever in the Chargers. That would be a nice piece for my team right off the bat. You know, that's not a bad idea necessarily. If you need certain types of players, look at who you can get through that. But just keep in mind, they're just going to be 70 type rated players. So,
right. And that's one of those things. You really want to look at the cards like in depth, because while it might be a 76 overall, they might have some one thing that they really excel at, mm-hmm. and maybe you can use that on your team somewhere.
That's true.
Like, what position is this Jermaine Kearse character?
So, a wide receiver.
Okay, so he might be. He's what, 76 overall?
Yeah, he's got good spectacular catch though.
Right. So even if he might not be one of your top three wide receivers, but he has that amazing spectacular catch, mm-hmm. You might be like, well, he has the best spectacular catch of all the players I have. I do want him on the lineup.
Yeah.
Just for like goal line situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a big dude. He's 6'1". He's got 89 spectacular catch. He's going to make catches in the red zone for you.
Yeah, and then there's positions like halfback where right now I don't have a spectacular running back, but I have two effective running backs. I have Chris Ivory, who's kind of my power guy, and I have mm-hmm. Arian Foster, who's kind of my throw screen passes to guy. Yeah, you can find ways to creatively use them, but yeah, you're investing 16 four-minute quarter games to get through there. Don't do it just for them necessarily, at least from what I think we've found. The other places to put your time into is probably better. One final thing, TJ, how much have you played online?
Barely. I've played a couple head-to-heads with friends, but I have not really dove into the online thing. I like to wait till my team's kind of where I want it. Where I'm not losing to the computer because my left tackle keeps jumping off sides.
Oh, don't let Rich know about that.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, too. I've kind of hesitated to play too much online, but I have played a few. And just like most Madden games, it's, the games run fine and everything. But, these are short. What is it, 3 or 4 minute quarters?
I think I want to say it's 4 minute quarters.
Yeah. Either way, the games feel short. And so, that means everybody naturally is going to run no huddle and they're going to go for it on fourth downs. So
yeah, it's one of those things where I'm not a great Madden player. So I have a ton of fun playing the solo challenges.
Right.
And I think even if there wasn't online, except for play with friends, I mean, I would personally be completely fine with that. But a lot of people are in it to play the head-to-head.
Yeah.
There are a couple of things people did want me to bring up.
Yeah, go ahead. Shoot.
This year they've added alternate jerseys.
Yep, which is nice. It's the relocation uniforms, right?
They've added the relocation jerseys from CFM, but they've also added like the home and away alternates for regular teams.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, those are.
So you have like that gray Seahawks jersey.
Yeah.
And stuff. In the past, some of that stuff was like super rare and expensive. Now they just seem to be in packs.
Yeah, I went and that was actually one of my first purchases in the auction house is I just wanted unique uniforms instead of being the Seahawks or Dolphins all the time. So right now I have, they were on the cheaper end of them. I have a home River Hogs mm-hmm. and on the road, I am the Redwoods.
Nice. Home, I am the Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
And away, I am the Black Knights.
Nice, yeah.
So
I really want the Huskies one, but that's it's kind of pricey right now.
Yeah, so there's two sets of those CFM jerseys. There's a new collectible called Mutt Gear, which is like a visor and stuff. There's, I think, 2/3 of them. You just need 10 Mutt Gear cards.
Mm-hmm.
You put them into a set, you get those jerseys.
Are but they then, not on the auction house? I've tried to look for gear.
They are. You have to search for No Team.
No Team, okay.
I think they'll show up if you search for all teams, but it's faster to look for like gold, No Team.
Okay.
And then if you know the name, search for the name to find one to buy. But then the last 10 there are elite jerseys, and they require you to have the 10 different Mutt Gear items.
Mm.
So not just 10 random ones. You have to have the 10 specific ones.
Jeez.
Oh, that's a big thing they changed this year. In the sets,
mm-hmm.
last year, almost all sets until the end of the year, you needed the specific cards to go in the sets.
Yeah.
Which always ended up being a problem with low rated golds that were, they were coming out like silvers and not like golds. So there would always be like, oh, there's a 73 left tackle that I need for this set. That is a complete trash card, but because he's super rare, he's going for 80,000 coins.
Yeah.
But now it's, you just, like, for the team hero sets, you just need 10 bronze players from this team.
Yeah, it's good.
You just need 10 silver players and 5 golds.
Yeah, it makes more sense. That
rather than each individual card, which I think that's a huge improvement this year.
Yeah.
One thing that does suck is some of the sets. Some of them are very large.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no, like, apply all these things to sets. So, like, the Team Hero sets are 25 cards.
Mm-hmm.
So you literally sit there, hit X, X, X. That's one card. X, X, X. That's another card.
Yeah,
X, X, X. Another card. So if there was just a way to do that way quicker, that would be a lot better.
Yeah.
And another thing people wanted me to bring up is they wish that there was a way to... So right now you can auto-generate lineups based on, like, overall or for a certain chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Wish that you could auto-generate with, like, certain rules, like, give me an auto-generated best overall lineup without the limited use cards, or just auto-generate my offense.
That's exactly, actually, what I was going to mention as one of my gripes, is that I don't even want to hit, like, make my team the best lineup possible, because then it brings in these limited guys, and then it's like a 10-minute process for me to remove them all and get my depth chart the way back I want it.
Yeah, that's another thing. I wish in the depth chart... You could say, like, remove this card and just fill in, like, move everybody up one.
Yeah.
But it's if you did the auto thing, you have that limited time DeAndre Hopkins, you now have to go move 5 wide receivers up one spot.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought I was missing something at first. Yes. I was like, this seems way too tedious after, you know, 5 years or whatever they've been doing, 5-6 years of Ultimate Team, that it'd still be like this. I was surprised.
I mean, but the good thing is, if you're on Twitter, tons of the Madden development team, specifically Mutt stuff, are there wanting your feedback.
Yeah.
So that stuff can get fixed.
Yeah. All right. You got anything else there, TJ?
I want to say that's it.
Yeah.
But I'm really having a lot of fun. Again, I've barely touched online. But I've been having fun playing these solos. That's kind of what I like to do most in this, even though it seems stupid that I end up spending a lot of money and doing this just to play the computer a bunch. But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I've been enjoying it too. That's where, you know, other than what we're going to be doing with our franchise, online franchises, that it's what I've been putting my time into, and I've learned to like it. Maybe not as much as Diamond Dynasty, which, you know, hooked me really for these type of modes more than any other has in MLB The Show 16. But as the teams get better here, as the season goes on, as, you know, I start collecting players I like more and all that, then, you know, maybe I'll be feeling that at some point too. So we did, you know, almost an hour, TJ, on Ultimate Team, after doing like an hour and a half on the big panel show on Madden. So it just goes to show that Ultimate Team, how deep Ultimate Team is and how featured it is, and maybe how confusing it can be.
Well, I think there's more ways to play Ultimate Team than ways to play Madden, not including Ultimate Team.
Yeah.
Because you have non-Ultimate Team ways to play Madden? You have online head-to-head.
Mm-hmm.
Franchise as a owner, franchise as a coach, franchise as a player.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, that's...
Or I guess you can play offline draft champions, I guess.
Yeah, and you got the skills challenges and stuff. But yeah, mostly the way when you buy Madden, you're going to put, you know, you're going to invest in it with your time, then those are the primary ways to play, and it's probably more limited than most other games.
Yeah, and there's the same amount or not more or more modes just within Ultimate Team to play. That if you don't want to play solos, you can play draft champions and have fun in there to your heart's content.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a lot to do.
Well, thank you, TJ, for coming on and talking Ultimate Team. There's a whole bunch of sports gaming related stuff coming up. We're going to have more podcasts, probably several more within the next week or two. With everything that's going on. So thank you, everyone who listened and follows the Press Row podcast. We appreciate it. Please subscribe, rate us. If you enjoy the show, we appreciate that. And we'll be back again soon. Take care, everyone.